SWAT cars. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
Randburg, June the 12th, 8:27 p.m. In a quiet back street, not far from the shopping center, Greg Williams' blue sedan erupts exhaust fumes as the motor turns and then settles into silence. He pounds the dashboard in a gesture of defiance, unaware of another car drawing alongside.
Hello there. Can we help you?
Just a minute.
You look as though you're in a spot of trouble. Anything we can do?
That's very kind of you. I don't know much about engines, but I think this one's given up the ghost. So, do you think you can do anything? You're welcome to try.
Well, we'll see what we can do, then. Come on, Pete. That could be your battery.
Wish it were that simple. And I think it's a little more complicated than that.
Well, let's have a look and see, huh? Yeah. Just move over a bit, will you?
Don't you want to have a look at the engine?
Just let me try the starter, see how the battery is.
Oh, okay. If you really feel that you...
Hello there.
Hey, what's the game? What's going on here?
Beware the Trojan horse.
That's a gun.
Right first, Pop. A for observation. Now, hand over the goodies. Fast.
Randburg, June the 12th, 8:30 p.m. The barrel of the revolver reflects the light of a street lamp as Greg Williams stares at it in horror. He has seen many situations like this at the cinema, but this is no film. It's horrifyingly real.
Okay, Pete, take his wallet.
Right. Look, why do you want to do this? I thought you were going to help me.
Life is full of disappointments.
I've got it,
friend. Good. And the watch.
Oh, please.
Come on, and the watch. Good boy. And now the cufflinks.
You want those as well?
If the job's worth doing, it's worth doing well. Didn't your dad ever tell you that? Come on, cufflinks. Please.
Hey, look, I haven't got anything else.
No, I'm sure you haven't, but this'll do very nicely.
Come on now, come on, let's get out of here.
Sure, just let me say goodnight to our benefactor.
Look, you won't get away with this.
Good night.
How much will we get for the stuff?
Oh, I don't know. Difficult to say. We'll have to get it valued.
The watch should be worth a bit.
You're right there. This is sure no rubbish. Hey, Pete.
Hmm?
Look up the road, about 100 yards.
Oh, hitchhiker.
Right. He looks well-dressed, too.
What are you thinking about? Not two blokes the same night.
Why not? In for a penny, in for a pound. Why don't we do him a favor?
Look, he might do us a favor and get in touch with the police. That'll make two people who can identify us.
Cut it out, Pete. You worry too much.
It's all right for you. You haven't got a record. I have.
Shut up and pull over.
All right. But I hope you know what you're doing.
Now, where are you going, friend?
Pretoria.
Okay, hop in.
Thanks a lot, sir. Oh, I was standing there for quite a time.
Sure. Very few buses this time of night. And what line of business you in?
Oh, a pharmaceutical salesman.
Oh, that must be very interesting. Tell me, though, how do you manage without a car?
Well, my wife has it tonight. Normally, I have it every night of the week.
You want to buy another one, ma'am? Then you won't have any hassle.
I need a bit more money before I can do that, I can tell you.
Oh, come on, blokes like you must be raking it in.
I wish it were true. I'm sorry, but I don't think this is the right road to Pretoria.
No, don't worry. We're going a different way. It's quicker.
Oh. Oh, well, just as you please.
Oh, relax. Pete knows his way around, don't you, Pete?
Yeah.
What do you fellas do?
Oh, you know, a bit of this, a bit of that.
Soldiers of fortune, eh?
Yeah, soldiers of fortune. Yeah, you could say that. Okay, Pete, pull in over there.
Right.
Well, why are we stopping here?
All right, get up.
Why? What's going on?
This.
A gun. But I thought you were doing me a favor.
Quit yapping and get up.
But really, I don't think I...
Business says, man, move.
Okay, empty your pockets.
I don't have very much. Nothing of value, anyway.
I'll be the judge of that. On second thoughts, I'd better frisk you myself. Pete, take the gun and keep an eye on him.
Right. And I'd better keep an eye on the rope, too.
Sure, you do that. Now, here, catch. Now, my friend, let's have a look at you. Just shut him up. He had a knife. Shoot! Go on, shoot him!
I can't. That'll be murder.
Do what I tell you. Shoot!
John Forster Square, June the 13th. 9:30 a.m. In an office on the seventh floor, Major Roxburgh is interviewing John Harris, pharmaceutical salesman.
Oh, thank you for coming to see us, Mr. Harris.
No trouble at all, Major. You'll forgive me if I seem a bit shaky. Last night's experience was pretty upsetting, you know?
Yes, yes, I'm sure it must have been. But from what I hear, you seem to handle yourself very well.
Well, whenever I'm traveling by myself, I always carry a small knife. Just in case.
Uh-huh.
I was amazed that I had the guts to use it, though. I was pretty scared, I can tell you.
You don't remember the license plate of the car, Mr. Harris?
No, Major, I'm afraid I don't. I remember the make, though.
Ah, good, good.
Well, it was a blue and white Tempest, and I think it was a 68 model.
Blue and white Tempest, 1968. Thank you very much. That'll be a great help to us.
Oh, and Major, the man that did most of the talking, he had a slight American accent.
American? I see. That ties in.
Huh? Well, I'm sorry, Major. Ties in with what?
You weren't the only person to fall prey to those two gentlemen last night.
Really? Well, who else did they get hold of?
A man by the name of Williams. His car had broken down, and they stopped and offered their assistance.
Exactly the same with me.
Mm-hmm.
They made out as though they were doing me a big favor.
Yes. Not such very good Samaritans.
Did you get the stuff?
Yeah, here we are. Adhesive plaster, ginseng violet.
Good.
It's not going to be good enough. You really should see a doctor with that hand.
Listen, Peach, you're not my mother, so shut up.
I'm only telling you for your own good.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well?
What do you mean, well? Well, what?
Are you going to sit around and wait for your wounds to heal, or are we going to do another job?
What do you think? Because we're going to do another job. This time, I want to go for a bigger game.
What do you mean?
There's a little hardware store not far from here. Nothing too classy, but not too poor either.
You want to hit it?
Oh, not exactly.
Well, then what do you want to do?
Every Friday afternoon at about 3:30, a little man comes from the bank to the hardware store. And he carries...
A little black bag.
Right. Containing at least 1,000 rand.
Whew. Well, that's a lot better than our usual pickings.
I've been waiting for the right opportunity. The stuff we've taken so far has just been housekeeping money.
How do you know about this hardware store?
I have a friend who gives me tips. He lets me know if there's anything interesting on the go.
And can he be trusted?
As much as anyone can be.
What's his name?
Harry Fisser.
John Forster Square, June the 13th, 5:13 p.m. Major Roxburgh assembles a report on his desk and then files it under the appropriate classification. It's been a long day, and he is about to go off duty when his attention is broken by a knock on the door.
Come in.
Sorry to disturb you, sir. I've got a fellow with me who might provide you with some very useful information.
All right, show him in, Sergeant.
Okay, Harry. Inside.
Well, well, well. Harry Fisser. A proverbial bad penny. We've been looking for you for quite some time.
Look, I've got something to tell you. If I let you in on something, will you see that things go easier for me?
Well, it depends what that something is, Harry. And bear in mind, I can't make you any promises. It's up to a court of law to establish degrees of guilt. You know that perfectly well.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But I thought you might be able to put in a word for me.
All right, then. What's your news, Harry? Come on, out with it.
Well, there's going to be a heist.
A what?
A robbery.
Where?
Leonard's hardware store. In Commissioner Street.
Really? Commissioner Street, eh? Who's involved?
Pete Conrad and Harold McGuire. He's a Yank, known as Hop.
Well, go on, Harry. This is beginning to sound very interesting.
Oscar assesses the information provided by Harry Fisher and concludes that the two men who intend to commit the robbery are the same men who attacked Greg Williams and held up John Harris.
Oh, thank you very much, Harry. Our little chat has been most informative.
You see that things go easy for you?
Oh, look, Harry, in all fairness, you've got a record as long as my arm. You just have to see how things stand up in court. But if your information does lead to the apprehension of these men, well, I'll see that it's mentioned.
Oh, thanks.
Sergeant, it's Major Roxburgh here. Would you ask a constable to come to my office to escort Mr. Fisser to his quarters? Oh, and come and see me yourself, will you? Yes, okay. Thank you. Now, you're sure, Harry, that you don't know where McGuire and Conrad are staying?
Yeah, I'm positive. All I know is that they're going to hit the wages clerk at Leonard's at 3:30 on Friday.
Right. Well, I'd better make sure that we provide a reception committee. Okay, Harry, off you go. Come in, Sergeant.
Remember what you said about mentioning it?
I won't forget, Harry.
All right, then.
Thank you, Major.
What did you want to see me about, sir?
We're going to visit a hardware store, Sergeant.
I'll just shift these tins of paint and you can sit down.
Ah, thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
You'll have to excuse the mess. We're stock taking at the moment. Now, what can I do for you, gentlemen?
Well, can you tell us, sir, who collects the wages on Friday?
Well, I do it myself. Every Friday afternoon, I go to the bank around the corner. Why?
We have reason to believe that someone will try and take that money from you.
Oh, I see. What makes you think that?
An informer told us, sir.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Now, how would you feel if I took your place on Friday?
Well, it'd make me feel a lot more secure.
Good. I was hoping you'd feel that way, sir. It'll be a lot safer all round.
And then if anybody tries to take the money, you'll be able to grab them.
That's the idea, sir. Now then, if you can tell me the route you normally take and at what time...
Then you can take it from there.
Right.
Whew. I'm glad you're back. I thought you'd gone all the way to Brunichen.
Something's happened.
Like what?
They've got Harry Fisher.
Who's got him?
The Fuzz. Who do you think?
Well, how?
He's wandering around Hillbrow and they picked him up.
That's tough luck.
Yeah, but he should have known better than to start showing his face around. He's wanted on about 6 charges.
Well, how does this affect us?
It doesn't. We go ahead as planned. We don't need Harry no more.
And what if he talks?
How do you mean talk?
What if he tells the cops what we're going to do?
Oh, don't worry about that. I know Harry. Harry's like a little oyster. He hates the Fuzz. Don't worry. He won't tell him a thing.
Well, I hope not.
Do me a favor, pal. Just relax.
Anyway, what's the drill for Friday?
Yeah, look here. I got a map. Yeah. Here's the store.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the bank.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, we'll get him after he's left the bank when he's halfway to the store.
Would he be armed?
Yeah, if you think so. But don't worry. I'll be able to deal with that. You just be waiting in the car and keep the engine running. You think you can do that?
Sure.
Good. Then that's all there is to it.
I hope so. I hope it's all going to be as smooth as you've planned it.
Like putting jam on a billy goat's whiskers.
Huh?
And when I was a kid in the States, I used to steal jam from my ma's larder. And we had a goat. So to take away suspicion from me, I used to smear some jam on the goat's whiskers. Everybody would blame the goat.
And he couldn't speak up for himself, eh?
You're darn tootin' right he couldn't. And this job on Friday will be as easy as stealing that jam.
Johannesburg, June the 16th, 3:25 p.m. Major David Roxburgh stands before a teller in a large city bank. With him, he has a small black briefcase. And the teller counts out money with careful precision.
22, 23, 24, 25. That's a lot.
Thank you very much.
Tell me, are you new with the firm?
I beg your pardon?
Well, Mr. Leonard, he usually comes in to pick up the wages himself, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's very busy today. He asked me to go along instead.
Oh, I see. Well, do be careful. That's a lot of money you've got there.
Oh, don't worry. I will be.
What's he doing in there? Buying the crown jewels?
Oh, don't worry. Relax. He'll be out in a minute. Probably having a cup of tea with the manager.
It's funny, you told me that Leonard himself usually picks up the money.
I know. So he's put a new boy onto it. Well, I can understand why. He's a lot younger and fitter than Leonard.
I hope you'll be able to handle him.
Oh, believe me, relax. He won't know what hit him.
I hope so for your sake.
That is the fourth cigarette in 30 minutes.
So I like to smoke. It's not against the law, is it?
Oh, relax, little buddy. Any minute now, Santa Claus is going to walk out into the street. And all our Christmases will come at once.
Hey, there he is.
Santa Claus. Okay, get moving. That's it. Nice and easy. Take it easy. I'll get him at the corner.
Come to think of it, he looks it. He's built like a springbok.
Oh, let's not have any negative thought ways. Almost there.
My hands are sticking to the wheel.
A little bit of nervous tension might do you good. Keep you on your toes. Okay. Pick up speed. And not too much. He's off a bit. Just behind me.
He's coming to the corner.
All right. When I give you the word, go.
Hey, look what's happening over here.
Okay,
I'll take that.
Well, be right where you are.
Sons! Dirty, lousy sons! Pete, what are you doing? You can't let that on me. Come back!
Stop him! Somebody! Stop him!
Who are you? What do you want?
Drive. Get me out of here.
But you can't just get into people's cars.
If you want to stay alive, do what I tell you.
All cars in the city center. I repeat, all cars in the city center. Be on the lookout for a gray Viper sedan. License number TJ2427. The occupant is armed and dangerous. He is holding the driver hostage. Proceed with caution. Over and out.
You get that number, Constable?
Look, Sergeant. Just turning out the commissioner's.
Hey, there he is. But let's get after him.
Head towards Louis Botha Avenue.
You must be mad. You won't get away with this.
Let me worry about that. You just drive. What's that behind us?
It's a police car. I told you, you won't get
out. Put your foot down.
I can't. There's too much traffic.
Feel that. That's a combat speed in your guts. If I have to say anything more, you shoot me.
We'll both die.
Yeah? You want that to happen?
No, but you...
Then put your foot down now!
Car 36 to control. Car 36 to control. You read me? Over.
Coming 26, over.
We're in pursuit of gray Viper sedan, license number TJ2427. We're proceeding up Louis Porter Avenue towards Pretoria. Over.
Understood, 26. We'll alert all cars in the area. Over.
Thank you, Control.
Can't you go any faster?
No, it's impossible. We'll crash if I do.
Crash? Hey, what are you doing?
You wanted me to go faster? That's what I'm doing.
I didn't tell you to drive like this. Stop! I'll use this gun.
And then we both had it.
Look out, that car!
Losing your nerve?
I'll kill you for this.
What about the police behind us? Are you going to kill them, too?
You smart son. Stop this thing! Stop it!
You want me to stop it? Right, I will.
Are you all right, sir?
Phew, yes.
Hey, Sergeant! Get down! Draw your gun, Constable.
Where is he?
Over there, behind that tree.
I can't seem to...
Just keep down, sir. Throw down your gun and come out. I repeat, throw down your gun...
There he goes!
Right after him!
He's turning! He's taking aim!
Oh, no, you don't!
You shot me!
Don't worry, you live to stand trial.
Harold McGuire and Pete Conrad were subsequently tried in the Johannesburg Regional Court on charges of armed robbery and assault with intent to do grievous bodily harm. They were found guilty and sentenced to 10 and 8 years of imprisonment, respectively.
They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting, in fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence. These men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars, brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.